And in heaven, everybody will be happy. There's some reasons, I suppose, to keep people from being happy down here. One of them's probably the great side of their loved ones that on a day like today, I remember this morning, prayer request was made for a couple that were burying their mother today. And they were burying their mother on Mother's Day, and I'm sure that was a grievous burden. And be tough for anyone to bury their mother on Mother's Day. But one thing about heaven, the Bible said there's no more dying. There's no more pain. No more sorrow. No more tears. That's probably one of the reasons that everybody be happy over there. And I appreciate my granddaughter coming up here. And I'm like Brother Melvin, we'll take a rain check on that. But I'm glad there is a place called heaven. And everybody can be happy over that. All right. I've been looking forward to preaching this message. And the reason I say that, because the Lord gave it to me. I'm not the originator of it. I always say this, but I hope everybody takes me literally. I'm just a messenger boy. But early this morning, I got up early, about 2 o'clock this morning, fellowshipping with the Lord. And actually, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't seeking God about a message. I really wasn't. I was expecting today to sit and listen to preaching. And I did this morning. I thank the Lord for that, because I've had a long week. But as I got up this morning, as I was praying, as I studied and listened to other men preach, and just early in this morning, fellowshipping with the Lord stirred my heart and stirred it so much that one way or another, I was going to preach this message today. And so much, I was either going to preach it in between the morning service and the evening service here, or else I was going to go to Bethel Church tonight after everybody done went home and go in there and turn the lights on and preach it there for the purpose of putting this message on the internet. And this message, I'll first be saying this. It's kind of a rough message. But it's kind of like medicine. My mother used to give me medicine, and it was, I didn't want to take it. It didn't smell good. It didn't taste good, but it did me good. That's kind of the way this message is, I guess. We'll start our reading tonight if you want to get your Bible out. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And please bear with me tonight. I'll be a little bit long. No longer than I have to be. I'll certainly do my best. But in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, Paul here, and we'll read 15 verses here, starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. I know in the day and hour we're living in, people don't put a lot of emphasis on doctrine. But it's very important. The Bible talks about sound doctrine. It cannot be condemned. And God's interested in doctrine. And Paul here says, charge some that they teach no other doctrine, that they neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, and he said, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and out of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jaggling. Now, I think it was Anthony this morning or Molly this morning that said pray for our churches. I don't remember which one. Both of them at one time or another have requested this. But pray for our churches and our preachers. And I do this a lot. Every church that hadn't failed by the wayside, every church still standing for the work, and every preacher still standing for the Word of God, I praise the Lord for them. But some have swerved. Some have turned aside on the vain jaggling. They've become shipwrecked. They've become unprofitable. Matter of fact, they ought not be. But Paul here talking to this young preacher, giving him instruction. And as he said about this, he says they desire to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. But Paul here says, but we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. Now, the law is talking about those Ten Commandments. The world don't want them. They just need them. The school doesn't want them. They just need them. And that law is good. And it's good if it's used right. That law will show people that they've sinned. Paul said he'd not known sin but by the law. And that law is good. And it's not made for the righteous man because he does right. But it's made for the unrighteous, it's made for the lawless, it's made for the disobedient, it's made for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murders of fathers and murders of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjurious persons, and if there be anything or any other thing, it's contrary to sound doctrine. That's what the law is here for. That law is here to show the difference between right and wrong. That law is here to show what is right and wrong. Paul here said, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Here's what the law did for Paul, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundantly with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Now I'll stop my reading right there. My text verse is verse number 9. And it talks about in that verse about murders of fathers, murders of mothers. And I want to preach tonight a Mother's Day message on what kind of a child would kill their mother. It's kind of a rough message, and I desire your prayers tonight and ask you to pray for me and with me. Father, we thank you that we to this day of darkness and sin, Lord, that we still have the Word of God to be able to look to it and to know, Lord, what we ought to do. To know, Lord, the direction we ought to take. And for that reason, Lord, we pray, dear Father, tonight you would help us to draw forth from the Word of God. Lord, to be anointed from on high, have liberty from above to preach this message, dear Father, tonight. For Lord, we've looked forward, Lord, to preaching this message because you gave it to us. And I pray in the preaching this message, dear Father, tonight you'd speak to us as we need. And may you, I pray, get all the praise and glory for anything that comes from it. In Jesus' blessed name, Amen. Message tonight, my granddaughter wanted to sit up here with me, and if you do, honey, you'll have to sit on the pew. You can't crouch down on the floor. But the message tonight is, what kind of a child would kill their mother? Now, that sounds like the opposite, because I'll tell you, the naturalist children love their mothers, they love their fathers, but the Bible tells us what kind of a child would grow up to kill their mother. I've got several examples, but I'm only going to use one for sake of time. One child raised up Adam Lanzi, shot his mother Nancy Lanzi at the age of 52 years old. He shot her 4 times in the head. She still had her pajamas on. He's the one that done the Sandy Hook shooting. And he was described by one of the children that survived this attack as a very angry man. He shot a 6-year-old, Noah Posner, 11 times, a first grader. 8 boys, 12 girls, 6 adults. He shot them all, and then he shot himself. Now that's the aftermath of this young man, but I want to go back beyond that. I want to go back and try to give some evidence tonight of what kind of a child would grow up to kill their mother on Mother's Day. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." I've heard it said, and how true it is, that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Mothers impart to their children morals, discipline. And they instill in the heart of those children how they're to do. I remember my mother washing my mouth out with soap, and Carol and I decided I wasn't going to say some of those words no more, because every time I thought of them, I started tasting soap. And I remember my mama getting me by the arm and busting my behind because she had told me not to do something. And I took it upon myself to go ahead and do it. And she let me know she is my mother. And I've told a lot of people this. They probably think I'm a lying, but the thing I love my mother most of all, my father most of all to this day, as a 59-year-old man, I love them more for disciplining me than I think anything they've done. Amen. And it does take a lot of love. If my mother and father didn't discipline me, well, they wouldn't love me. They wouldn't care what I did or how I turned out. But I didn't realize it at the time. I didn't realize, Brother Melvin, it took love to do what they did.
That's right.
I thought at the time, I thought, boy, they're mean. They're mean parents. They ought not spank me. I'll say tonight, I never got a single spanking. That wasn't my fault. That I brought it on myself. But I'll tell you what kind of a child will not grow up to kill its mother as a child been raised up with a lack of discipline.
Amen.
They've been left to themselves. And I hear it all the time.
Right.
I'm going to let my children make their own choices. That's a mistake. Because
right.
The Bible said children ought to be raised up in the love and admonition of the Lord. Matter of fact, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart. And there's a responsibility to every mother, and a responsibility to every parent, to teach their children what is right and what is wrong. We've come down to today, you can't trust the schools to do it no more. So I'll tell you right now, they've become a habitation of devils. I can take the Bible and prove that. And they're teaching lies. I can take the Bible and prove that.
Right.
They're making 2-fold more childs of hell than themselves. I can't lay all the blame on them because we've sat back and done nothing. But I'll tell you right now, you can't trust the children to teach your... you can't trust the schools to teach your children no more. Now, on the way up here, my granddaughter told me she's on the AB honor roll. And I'm happy for that. That means she's really put forth some effort to listen and to do what they've told her. But the Bible says in Proverbs 19, verse 18, it says, chasten thy son while there's still hope. and chastened. Character is molded. I found out the consequences of doing wrong. Anita's not here tonight. And I don't think she'd mind me telling this, but I visited her son this week in jail. We had to talk through a bulletproof glass on the phone. And that's the consequences. Doing wrong. I know Anita told him right. And that's all you can do. You can convey what a child's supposed to do. They may not do it, but they need to be taught that they need to do it. And she done her best. And I told Nathaniel, I said, Nathaniel, you're a fool. I said, the devil made a fool out of you. I said, you can't see it, but he's got strings on you. He's been doing you like a puppet, boy. And I said, he got you to do what you did, and he made sure you got taught. Now here you are, a fool for the devil. I said, Nathaniel, if you ain't careful, the devil will make a bigger fool out of you than what you are right now. Boy, he got mad at me. I don't mind that. I want him to know why he's there. I want him to know it wasn't his fault. He gave place to the devil. The devil set him up. Man, he set it all up. It looks so good. Oh, we can do this. Look at where he landed. The consequences. Amen. Chasten thy son while there's still hope. There's hope in chastening. It says, let not thy soul spare for his crying. Now, children, sometimes they cry because they're hurt. Sometimes they cry because they want to get out of a spanking. Sometimes they cry because they just want something that they don't need. But crying is something that a parent, when they hear that cry, a good parent is able to distinguish where it's really a matter of consideration or where it needs to just be kind of ignored. My wife's pretty good about that. She could tell about the cry, whether it was serious or not. She knew when to run and she knew when to just let it sit. And you know, mothers are like that. They can tell about that cry, whether it's legitimate or not. But Proverbs 23:13-14 says, withhold not correction from the child. I believe they don't discipline schools no more. I believe when I was in school, they had it, Anthony. Matter of fact, buddy, I remember one I got from Mr. Bradford. I thought if I live through this, he'll never get through this again. The first time he hit me, buddy, I thought I was a dead man. He knocked me plumb over the desk. He told me to reach down and grab my ankles, Carolyn. And when I did, the next thing I knew, I was coming over the backside of that desk saying, are we done? He said, no, we got more, boy. He was an ex-FBI man, and he decided he's going to do it a one-time thing. He said, well, he's not going to be in my office no more. And he's absolutely right. I'll tell you right now, buddy, he left an impression on me. And I believe I still got it back there. That's probably the reason I ain't got no more high than what I've got. But I'll tell you one thing, it wasn't his fault I was in there. It was my fault. I thought I was big and bad, and he showed me I wasn't. I thought I could do what I could do. Nobody did nothing about it. He showed me I was wrong. And I went in his office. I went there kind of cocky. And I come out kind of crippled. But I'll tell you one thing, buddy. He made an impression on me. And I thank God for him. He got through. My thick head through my bottom. And I remember that, but I walked the line. Mr. Bradford, I said, yes, sir. No, sir. No more arguing, buddy. Whatever you say, sir. Yes, sir. I didn't want no more of them. I'll tell you right now, buddy, it can't be done. And the Bible says, withhold not correction from the child. I'll tell you what kind of child will grow up, kill its mother. It's not been corrected. They'll figure it out. Yeah, they will. There's one down there, make sure it happens. There's one down here, and the world won't tell you much about it. But he's the one that kind of, you see in cartoons, he's sitting on one shoulder, a little angel sitting on the other shoulder, and he does most of the talking. I'll tell you right now, buddy, the devil, he's good at what he does. One woman, she was known for always having something good to say about everyone. Somebody said, I bet she'd have something good to say even about the devil. She said, I will tell you this, he's very industrious. He's not lazy. He works. Rick preached a message one time called The Devil Works a Night Shift. And I couldn't deny what was said there, Chelsea, because the devil worked on me on the night shift. But withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Verse 14 said, thou shalt beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. That rod teaches obedience and righteousness. And let me say this, not only will that kind of a child raise up and grow up to kill their mother, and there's several of them. I mean, a rich mother and father had two sons, twin sons. And since they were rich, they had an idea. They can see this idea. They went in and shot their mother and dad while they were sleeping in bed. They shot them both. And then they pretended somebody broke in the house. And they just barely escaped. And the police are smarter than that. And it wasn't too hard for them to read between the lines. And the sad commentary is them boys, with the help of the devil, shot a loving mother and father, hoping to get the wealth. And, you know, instead of waiting on it and getting it, because it was right for theirs to take it early and seize upon it. And now they're serving time in prison. But even greater than that, I wonder what kind of Mother's Day they're having today, Margaret. Wonder what kind of Father's Day they have. Remembering they went in there and shot a loving mother and father as they lay sleeping. Well, I'll tell you, buddy, children need to be taught. My granddaughter, I love her. She's walked in on her pop many times down on his knees praying. And I pray for my children. I pray God will help them make good decisions. I pray God will help them not to be polluted with the poison of this world. Keep their minds pure and their bodies pure. I'll tell you, buddy, what kind of child to raise up and kill their mother is a child been left in self. Let me say this, hell will be full of children that their mothers thought that they knew better than God did. Now, I'm going to be real clear right here. This is probably the worst part of this message. When you think you know more than God, you're a bigger fool than you realize. Now, the devil looks for them kind of fools. Because those people that think they know more than God, the devil comes by and says, that's right. Yeah, have God said. I heard a guy preach yesterday talking about Genesis there. He said, in Genesis, said you got Adam's rib, Satan's fib, and woman's lib. And I said, whoa, easy boy. Oh me. But when someone thinks they know more than God. See, Eve, she was beguiled in eating of that fruit of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And she told that devil, and the devil will show up. She told that devil, we're not to eat of that. And the devil said, yeah, have God said. Boy, that's all he needs is an audience. Yeah, have God said. You shall die. The devil said, you shall not surely die. Just put one word. Just, you know, we talk about these new versions of the Bible. Just one word overthrew the Word of God.
Yeah.
It wasn't right, but it was taken. And look at what it done. One word. You shall not surely die. And God said, you shall surely die. Which one was right? You tell me.
Right.
And that woman, the Bible says, she saw that tree as one to be desired to make one wise. She took everything to eat, gave to her husband. He did eat. Their eyes were open and he was naked. And all of a sudden now they got a problem. Because it gave place to the devil. But hell will be full of people. It'll be full of children. But their mothers thought they knew more than God did. And they thought they didn't have to listen to what this Word said. They thought they didn't have to worry about what the school is doing or anything else. They neglected their responsibility. And I'll tell you what they did. They let their children grow up without the knowledge of God. And they grew up. And I'll tell you what they done one day. They took the life of the mother that allowed this to happen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Says all Scripture, not just Old Testament, not just New Testament, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. I have been corrected. And I don't mind it. You take Bible, y'all may not remember this, but and I wish it hadn't happened. When I first came up here, there was a guy teaching Sunday school up here. And I was pretty concerned about it because I knew enough Bible to know better. But one day he said, ain't that right, preacher? And when he done that, I had to do something I didn't want to do. And I said, no, sir, it's not. And Brother Lloyd, I gave him chapter and verse. And I'll tell you this, If he had pulled that chapter and verse from me, I'd have stood corrected. But that's one thing about the Bible. Paul said, what said the Scripture? You see, that Scripture is there for a reason. It's instruction in righteousness. It's there for reproof. It's there for rebuke, for exhortation. It's there that the man of God might know what he's supposed to do. The Bible said it's there for instructions in righteousness. I don't know about you men here, but I'll tell you what, there have been a few times that my wife bought some things for the kids. I didn't use instructions. I thought I could just put it together and there was a whole lot of pieces left over. And after we tried it, it didn't work. The reason it didn't work because I didn't follow instructions. And I remember my wife, she put one thing together. She didn't wait till I got home and it ended up wrecking it. I mean, the screws tripped out and all that stuff. And the right screws had to go in the right place. And I'm just like her. I've done the same thing. But, you know, if you didn't put the right screw in the right place, it messed it up. And somebody, I think, was able to salvage it. But that's kind of the way the Bible is. We've got the Word of God from the Creator of all things. The Bible said we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. But it's the Lord that made us, not we ourselves. And I know they want to try to undermine God. And one guy preaching yesterday said, you know, they said we evolved. And he said that ain't nothing but lies straight out of hell, but they still teach in their schools. And tell you what, bud, it's got a lot to do. As we drove up here today, I saw children. And I could tell by looking at them, I could tell by their demeanor and by their dress, that they hadn't been raised up in church. They hadn't been taught the ways of God and the things of God. And I'll tell you what, buddy, I work with people just like what I'm preaching tonight. And they're young mothers. I mean, they're really not even old enough to be a mother, but they've got children. And they talk about their music, and they talk about their partying on the weekends. And I go over and shake them. I said, do you remember you got a little baby at home? Somehow I've been able to get through a couple of them. Those babies can't be neglected, Karen. And I know there's pleasure in sin. That's one of the problems with motherhood is most women don't want to step aside to be a mother.
That's right.
My wife was very devoted to our children. Matter of fact, she was mother and father. I was gone. But I'll tell you what, buddy, she fulfilled her role and my role for the most part. I was the missing one. I was gone all the time. I wished I could go through that and do that again. Because I'd want to be a better father. But I was absentee. But she is devoted to those children. I never saw her when she wasn't there for them. I never saw her when she wasn't caring for whatever they had need of. Cooking and ministering to their need. But the Bible tells us how to raise children. It tells us the things that we need. And the Bible says, let God be true. And every man be a liar. That Sandy Hook killer, he shot his mother first. That's the first one he killed. This is the one, from what I know about her, her life was devoted to this boy, except for one thing. I don't think she ever tried to bring him to church or to the Lord. But other than that, I think she really did try. And she was on her own. I don't think she had a husband. But in her case, as we look at the aftermath of this, she was the first one he shot. You see, we need God's help. The Bible says two is better than one. Woe unto him that's alone when he falleth, for he have not another to help him up. And it says a threefold cord is not easily broken. Even with a husband and a wife, you need that other in there also. And that's the Lord.
Amen.
With the Lord's help, I believe a father and a mother can prevail against the devil. I believe that they can pray and raise up that son or daughter to be a fine young man or a fine young daughter. But I'll tell you right now, it takes work. Got to roll them sleeves up. You can't walk away from a battle. You got to stand your ground and be dogmatic if need be. Because little children, this right here, she's a little old angel. It takes a lot of effort, a lot of work to raise a little child up. There's a lot of adversaries. Things have changed. When I was growing up, they still had the Bible in school. When I was growing up, the principal would come over the intercom every school day morning, read the Bible, prayed over that intercom. When I was in school, we still had the Ten Commandments on the wall and the Pledge of Allegiance. And we put our hand on the heart and said the Pledge of Allegiance. And we read those Ten Commandments out loud when I was in school. His mother, Nancy Lanza, was the first one that he shot. And then he proceeded to kill 20 children and 6 adults in the safe haven of our cursed schools that have no room for the protecting hand of God. Now this problem is not just epidemic, but it's growing worse and worse. I'll tell you what America needs. It needs to raise its churches back up. It needs to get the altar back in the house. It needs to get moms and dads, if need be, across from a coffee table. And I'll tell you what, join in heartfelt, earnest prayer and say, we're not going to be a victim. We're not going to fall down. We're going to stand our ground. One of the men in the Bible I like is Japheth. Everybody else ran, but Molly Japheth stood. And one man that didn't run whooped 300 Philistines over a pile of beans. One of my favorite characters in the Bible, Japheth. He got tired of losing his meal. These bullies come up, these Philistines, and what they do, they wait till they gather their crop, and they come in and they take all of their labor, all of their vegetables and food that they've worked all year long, and now they've harvested, and when they got it all harvested, here they come to take it, and everybody fled, but one man, Japheth, he said, I'm tired of running, boys. And he stood, and the Bible said through him, God wrought a great victory. Little Japheth, you look that up. He said, I've had enough of this running. And when he stood, he found out what God could do when a man would stand his ground. I believe some of us need to find out what God can do by standing our ground. I believe, buddy, when we start setting our foot down and say, no, we're not going to do it. I believe, praise God, we'll start seeing a little bit of victory. I think we're so used to compromising. I think we're so used to a sugarcoating everything and say, well, it'll be all right. I think, praise God, when he say, no, it's not going to be all right, we're going to do what God said. Amen. That's what I think. I think grandmas, they stand their ground. Grandpas, moms and dads. Whew. And I think in America, we're guilty of putting our head in the sand. And I've heard it before, and I'm sure you have too. Don't you scare my children, preacher. I don't want my children to be scared and miswork their minds and all that stuff. Do you not know the Bible says the fear of the Lord is beginning of the wisdom?
Amen.
Do you not know the Bible said the fear of the Lord is clean and health? Do you not know the Bible said the fear of the Lord prolongeth days? Do you not know that the Bible said by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil? You want to know why they got so many convicts in a prison? Do you want to know why they've got so many guys that don't think twice about putting a bomb in a pressure cooker and setting it down here to Joyce's event and literally blowing people into smithereens? No fear of God. That's why. Ain't nothing wrong with fear of God, but I remember when fear of God came in my life. It caused me, buddy, to start examining my life and what I was doing, the consequences of my action. Don't worry about your children. Minds being warped by the fear of the Lord. God said it's health. God said it's beginning the wisdom. God said it prolongs your days. God said by it, man depart from evil. Don't worry about the fear of God. Leave it up to God to take care of that. Oh, I know better than God does, preacher. You're a fool. I'm going to let them decide for themselves. You're a fool. According to the Word of God, you're a fool. The Bible says, can't remember exactly how it says, in the eyes of a fool, everything's right, or something like that. I don't remember exactly how that wording is, but you know, a fool looks at things, and he don't want to know what the Bible says. I don't want to know what that Bible says, he says. I'll figure it out myself. He's a fool. Man, that won't give place to God, won't give place to the Word of God. Man, the devil looks for them, Anthony. Man, he's got something to work with there. He says, that's right. Yeah, you don't need that Bible. You don't need to go to church. You don't need God. We'll show him. Devil loves him. He'll make a mess of him, Daniel. Tell you right now, one of the biggest messes we got down here, if we don't give place to God. Now, there are a lot of messes down here. They're all man-made. We've made them. And it's amazing how God has sat back and allowed some of these messes. But I'll promise you this, He's going to clean them up. But if you're messed up tonight, maybe you're messed up tonight in your thinking, maybe you're messed up tonight in your theology, I just want you to know God's a gracious God. He's the one that the Bible said the Word came to Jonah the second time. He's the one the Bible said He remembered Noah. He's the one that gives second chances. He's the one that's gracious and good and kind. He's the one that doesn't want us to go to the flames of hell, but wants us to enter into streets of gold, walls of jasper, pearls of gates of one pearl. You know what? He seems like he's last on the list of consideration. I remember one time a doctor talking to a woman. My pastor was the one that told this. I'm just repeating what he said. But a doctor come told a woman, he said, we've done everything we know to do. And he said, there's nothing else. And she said, oh my God, what has it come to that? He said, there's only one thing left I know to do, and that's to pray. And she said, has it come to that? You know, that's one thing people don't want to consider, is turning to God and repenting and say, I was wrong, you was right. I want to make it right. I promise you this tonight. You can make it right. If you can make it right up here. If you're not ashamed of Him, He said He wouldn't be ashamed of you. He said, if you come to me, He said, I won't turn your way, I'll receive you. And the Bible says that He's a friend of sinners. Buddy, He was my friend when I was in sin. That's why I didn't make it to hell. But He's my Savior now. Amen. Molly, He saved me from sin. Amen. Now, praise God, I've got somebody to help me. That was tempted in all points as I was, yet without sin. And now, praise God, He's able to help Eddie Wade to evade all the snares of Satan. All the sins that so many fall into. One thing about sin is kind of like them houses down in Florida. You see it happen. You see the house, here it is, it's gone. We were talking on the way up here about a man went to sleep, and while he was sleeping in his bed, the ground opened up and consumed him and sucked him down and never found him. His brother heard him screaming, dived in, tried to save him. That's the way sin is. You're sitting there at ease. You're in a safe place. You're home. You're in your bed. Here sin comes like a great shark. Zoom! And you're out of here. And I'll tell you what, buddy. Sin ain't no laughing matter. The Bible says fools make a mock at sin. They laugh at it. You won't laugh later. You might laugh now. But you won't laugh later. You won't laugh when it puts its coils around you. Makes that last pull. And now you're captive. Now, buddy, you're a prisoner. Now you're like Samson. They said, I'll rise and go at other times. But he knew not that the Lord had departed from him. You know what they did to Samson? They bound him. This time he couldn't break them. He'd been breaking them all the time before. Well, that's amazing. All the time before he broke them. But now he can't break him. Binds. And then they blinded him. Samson had killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. This mighty champion. Now he's bound. Now he's blinded. And then they make fun of him. You'll be made fun of.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, you laugh today and you'll be a fool tomorrow. Yeah. They'll say, remember so-and-so? And how that happened. I'll tell you how it happened. He let the devil in. The devil does what he does. The Bible said the devil come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. What kind of child grows up, kills their mother on Mother's Day? The kind of child that's been left itself. The kind of child hadn't been in church. Kind of child hadn't been prayed for. Kind of child that hadn't been taught the ways of God and the things of God. The kind of child that the world looks for so they can mar it, pervert it. I don't know about you, but I look around. I see our youth. They're all tattooed up. Me and Brother Melvin Day seen a young lady today, and she had something sticking out of her lip. I don't know what you call it. Blue looking thing sticking out of her lip. I ain't put one in my lip. I work with them young girls at their work. I kind of got on the bad side talking about their tattoos. So I thought I'd kind of meet them midway, Brother Melvin. I said, I got a tattoo. And they kind of perked up and said, you got a tattoo? I said, yeah, I've only got one though. What? I said, my heart. It's been tattooed by the love of God. It says Jesus on this heart. And I said, the Bible said it was made without hands. Circumcision of God made without hands. The Bible said the Lord knoweth them that are His. That tattoo allows Him to know I belong to Him. He pierced my heart through with His love and His Word. And He healed my heart. And now, praise God, I've got a sound heart. Beforehand, I'll tell you what, I had a worldly heart. And it not only was unsound, it was unstable. And I'll tell you what, buddy, I went where the devil said to go and I done what the devil said to do. And my poor loving wife had to raise our kids all by herself. She done the best she could. I wonder how many homes is like that. Well, I'll tell you one thing. In her case, God was merciful. In her case, God was gracious, got her husband saved. It ain't always like that. But that's sad to read about a young boy raised up with a loving mother. And she loved him. She wouldn't let no one else tell him nothing. She sheltered him. She raised him up. She liked Frank Sinatra. She did it her way. Four times in the head. Matter of fact, it was four times in the face. The face that kissed him. The face that looked in his eyes, Carolyn, wiped away the tears. He said, Mama, make it all right. And he shot that loving mother in her pajamas four times in the face. And then he went to Sandy Hook School, I don't know why, and shot first graders. Shot one of those children 11 times. That's what kind of child will grow up and kill its mother. It's going on right now. Our schools right now, you can't even raise your hand. As a matter of fact, they tell our children to leave your religion at the door. Jesus not welcome in here. Well, who is? You're right, Brother Melvin. The devil's got free course in their school. And they're paying the price for it. And I'll tell you tonight, I know this message is probably not pleasant. I never heard such a quiet service in my life. No amen, no shouting. But I'll tell you this tonight. What I've told you is the truth. Mm-hmm. We need to raise these children. These children right here, Holden and Daniel, Charity, Chelsea, Monica, Maddie, need to be taught what's right, what's wrong, need to be prayed over. They need to be instructed. And if not, they'll grow up one day. Monica would never think about killing her mother. But since there's a devil down here, and he knows when to come, he knows what to say and how to say it, and he'll come up alongside Monica at the right time, he'll say, if I was you, I'd get a butcher knife out of that drawer, and I'd go in there and I'd bury it in the back of your mother. How dare her talk to you like that? You would never do that. I know you wouldn't. But I'll promise you this. Adam Lanzi said that about his mother. There's a devil down here. And Holden, he'll get a hold of you, buddy. He'll sift you like wheat. Jesus said, Simon, Satan desired to have you. Well, not just Simon. Monica, I hope I didn't hurt your feelings. I'm just making a suggestion there. Bless your heart. Bless your heart, honey. I surely didn't want to hurt your feelings for nothing. But here these children are. I just want to try to get through to them that what I'm saying You know, I bet Adam, of course he shot himself, but I bet he come to realize, what did I just do? Why did I just do that? And the devil's over on the sideline saying, you done good, boy. And he took that Glock pistol, stuck it right under that chin, and he didn't end it. He just went to be with the one that used him. Yeah. He went to be with the one used. He saw the police coming in, and he realized, buddy, the jig was up. Now he's going to have to pay for all this carnage. And the devil said, if I was you, I'd just take my life. I wasn't there. I just know the devil. I know how he operates. That young boy wouldn't have done what he'd done if there hadn't been a devil down here. Nobody in their right mind shoots their mother. Nobody in their right mind goes shoots innocent children. That boy there, he had some help. The young boys here tonight, I want you to know there's a real devil down here. Daniel, he's walking about like a roaring lion. He mess you up, boy. He mess you up, old brother Eddie, come see you. I promise you this. He'll make a fool out of you. He'll make a fool out of you, Charity. Yeah, I still got that gun on my chin there. He'll make a fool out of you. You know why people take their life? Because they underestimate the one that come to kill, steal, and destroy. They find him with a rope around their neck. They find him with a gunshot. They find him with a slip their wrist, an overdose. You know why they find him? Somebody dropped the ball. What kind of child grew up kill his mother? Kind of child that the devil can get through to. Kind of child that the devil has advantage because they don't have a godly mother, a praying mother, a godly father, and a praying father that'll put a hedge about that child and say, Lord, don't let the enemy get in. Keep them safe. Amen. I'll promise you this, that granddaughter back there got somebody praying over her every day. Every day. She'll come to me and she'll say, Pop, pray for my grandpa. Pray for my nanny. My granny. She knows what to do. She'll say, pray for me, Pop. I ain't feeling good. And sometimes we just go to prayer right there, don't we, honey? I grab her and I say, Lord, we need you. My granddaughters are hurting. I'm glad God's that kind of God. That you can interrupt Him at any time about anything. I'll tell you what our children need today. They need the Lord at a young age. Jesus said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not. We've got the mind of this world now, and the mind of this world is, who needs the Lord? You do! That's who does. Whew. What a message. Lord, we thank You, Father, for the great truths that have been told here tonight. Lord, I don't know how this message went. I know, Lord, how You gave it to me. I do pray, dear Father, tonight they'll not be able to shake the truths of this message. Lord, the young children that are here, I pray, Lord, I didn't offend Monica. I love her, and You know my heart in this matter. I pray for her. Melissa said she had a bad day today. And Lord, I ask Your forgiveness if, Lord, if I've done anything there, Lord, injured or hurt her, because I love her. But I pray, dear Father, Lord, tonight for the children that are here and the parents that are here, that we might all wake up to the reality of what's going on and not be so gullible, not be so naive, not sit back and do nothing, but at least, Lord, fall down on our knees and say, God, we've sinned, we're sorry, we need help. Help our country, Lord, I pray, wake up and to realize it's not going to make it without God. And Lord, we thank You tonight. Ask Your help in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Monica, I love you, honey.
51.
I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. I wouldn't do that for nothing. Bless your heart. Precious as you are. Everybody stand, please. If you need to come tonight, you know more about that than I do. But if you need to come tonight, by all means, come. If you just want to sit right there where you're at, say, God, I need to talk to you a minute, you go ahead and do that. I promise you this, God's interested in what you're going through. God's interested in things that are troubling you. Things right now, you're wondering how we're going to make it, what we're going to do. The Bible said He's a very present help. Time of trouble. Charity, He said, call upon me in a day of trouble. And I'll show you great mighty things you know not. He's that kind of God. Personal God. Loves you personally. To roam open wide Thine arms of love. Are you coming? Lord, I'm coming home.
I'm waiting.
There ain't none of this where Adam Lindsay went. I don't know where his mother went. But I'm convinced that nobody with the mind of Christ, the love of God, would shoot little innocent children. And I'm convinced where Adam Lance went, not none of this heard. I don't know about his mother, but I'll promise you this, God's just God. His judgment's righteous judgment. Anybody goes with ain't none of this, won't have nobody to blame but theirself. Are you tired of sin and straying? Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you are, I want you to do something about it. Won't you just come up here and make a personal commitment to the Lord to live for Him, walk before Him in beauty and holiness, give Him the word of His suffering, give Him the joy that He is willing to go through the suffering and despise the shame, just so you can have a home in heaven. If not, live a lie. One day wake up, realize how big a fool you've been. Think about it tonight. This ain't no fairy tale. Church ain't no game. It's not no put on. Jesus really died. And He really died for you. Jesus really rose up from the grave. And He rose up for you to show you that you can have victory. To show you that through Him you can make it. Lord, I'm coming home. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Melvin. Yeah, thank you. I would be glad to go further if somebody raised their hand and say, Brother Eddie, would you please play one more invitational hymn? I need to do something with the Lord tonight. I'd be glad to have Brother Melvin sing another hymn. I was in a service and it was over just like this. And my pastor said, if there's anybody here that would like for us to sing one more verse of invitational hymn, if you'll raise your hand, we'll do it. And to my surprise, my cousin standing next to me raised his arm up. And buddy, I mean, it was on. Not only did he get saved, but we were outside. I said, Barry, I'm so glad you got saved. He said, I don't know what in the world happened. He said, all I wanted was a cigarette. And he said, my hand went up without me even thinking about it. And I praise the Lord for that. I was there that day. He didn't live too long. But I'm glad for that day that hand went up and he run to that altar and I knelt down right beside him. Man, I'm telling you, it was such a blessing. Maybe you're here tonight. Maybe you're in the same dilemma. Maybe you're wanting something you don't really need. Maybe the Lord's dealing with you. I don't know. But I'll tell you this, if you raise your hand tonight, Brother Melvin would be more than glad to send another verse of invitation on him. And if not, we'll be dismissed unless somebody's got something on their heart. Anybody got something on your heart? Well, I told you tonight, I don't guess you'll hear anywhere else. Pretty rough. But it's true.
Brother Eddie, yeah. I want to thank God for
your
time of salvation. You know, it is our choice.
Yeah.
It's our choice whether we're going to live in heaven or not.
You're right, Carolyn.
It's true. And we have to stay in His Word. I read some this morning, and it just shows us the right path to go.
That's right.
Daily, by reading and staying in His will.
Amen.
Thank you for saying that.
Amen, Sister Carolyn.
Guidance.
I like what she just said. She said, it showed me which way to go. It's instruction in righteousness. It shows you the right way. She's right. A lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We were to hide it in our heart that we would not sin against God.
Brother Eddie, too, I like that church to still pray for Sharon. Billy called and she went back into the hospital today.
Okay.
And they're sending her on to Lexington or Louisville.
Amen.
Lexington, I'm not positive. I didn't get to go see her today, but I will.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Carolyn. We'll be sure to pray for Sharon. And also a man called me today. His name is Donnie. And he's been having severe seizures. And I told him that I'd ask y'all to pray for him. His name's Donnie. I don't know his granddaughter's name, but his granddaughter's got a knot on the side of her neck. And I told him we'd be praying for him and for her. Remember, Donnie, and his granddaughter. And remember, Sharon, Billy, the girls. Anybody else got anything tonight?
Good message. It seems to be pretty still in the world for it. I'm concerned. I'm proud to have parents to correct me when I need it, get whooping when I need it.
Same here, Brother Manning.
When they're needed.
Now, I'm not for child abuse. He's exactly right. When they're needed, that's when they need to be administered. Same here, brother. I'll tell you. I didn't realize at the time, but it takes a lot of love to discipline a child. My parents showed me love, and I didn't even realize it. I was trying to figure out how to get out of it. But they loved me enough to try to intervene in my life, try to help me, you know, to do right and grow up right.
That's right.
Amen. Y'all remember Sharon, Billy, and the girls? I appreciate that testimony, Brother Melvin. I'm like you. I thank God for my parents and my upbringing. Anyone else here tonight? Appreciate everyone that come tonight. I hope the message somehow or another had something in it you needed. And if not, keep coming. Got to make sure there is something that you need. If we're done tonight, let's get Brother Howard, you please dismiss us. Word of prayer.
Thank you for all the ministers. I thank you for all the ministers.